Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Steve Jordahl joins us now.
Good morning, all.
Reporting remotely. like in 30 yards from us behind a couple of walls.
Yeah, that's how contagious I am. A little more than... See, you and Ed apparently are the least contagious. I'm second, but Ray has to be like 1,000 miles away.
I'm extremely dangerous.
Yeah, we moved
about
way...
About 600 miles away.
600 miles away.
Yeah.
In case he sneezes.
That's right.
Ray's in Kansas City. We're in Tupelo. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. You can send us an email at comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net if you'd like to. Follow us on Facebook and YouTube by typing in Today's Issues. I do encourage you after our program is over to, unless you're going to listen to Dr. Alistair Begg, which I also encourage
right here
on AFR, great Bible teacher that we present every day, but that video, if you've been a naysayer about all this, okay, you sort of said, oh, it's complete total overreaction, panic, that's what the problem is. Okay, so Tim, you're wrong. All right, I know there's some middle ground here, but you really do owe it to yourself to go watch that video we're talking about, so you can appreciate this greater. And I'm not scolding anybody. I'm not. You know, I think we all love our country. We love God. We want to see the best. But there are decisions to be made with information that's out there that you need to consider before you just say it's just like the flu, because it's not. It's not. I'm telling you. It's not just like the flu. Yeah, you can compare the stats on deaths and everything like that, but the potential for catastrophe is there. And by catastrophe, I mean deaths in the hundreds of thousands. That's what I'm talking about. Please... don't miss it. I'm not a reactionary, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, although I did at one time believe in Bigfoot.
But you don't anymore?
We can debate the Bigfoot another day, okay? Somebody sent a video out the other day, or a caption, a comic strip saying the champion in social distancing is Bigfoot.
Bigfoot, right.
Anyway... But go and watch that video about how exponential, is that what it's called?
How exponential growth works.
How exponential growth works. So it's on our Facebook page. And I think you will then have a greater appreciation for why this isn't exactly like the flu and why these our government leaders are struggling with what to do exactly, because
there's nothing to compare it to in American
history. There's no playbook for this.
Right.
So anyway.
We're talking about the Cuban Missile Crisis. Well, there was no playbook for that, which is why they agonized for that, 10 days in October, because any crisis that happened in American history up to that point had been before the atomic age. And President Kennedy was having to weigh what to do about Cuba versus the very real possibility of atomic war, which would wipe out the human race. Okay, it's the same kind of situation here. Ed, I was thinking about what you said. Was it day 33 or 32 or something like that when the lily pads take over the rest of the pond? Is that it?
Yeah, it was he says, he starts off by saying it's going to take like 34 days for that one lily pad to exponentially grow to take over the entire pond. He says... It goes from half the pond, covering half the pond, to covering the whole pond in one day. That's what exponential growth is like.
All right, so I'm thinking if you're the president, the bottom line is, you cannot get to day 33, whatever that equivalent is in this crisis. We must not get there. And it really doesn't matter whether you stop it on day 8 or 10 or 15. I mean, it would be better to stop it earlier, right?
Right.
But you, the bottom line is you must not get there. Is some point you cannot let it get past that. So the president is going to, I think he's going to keep this thing going to make as sure as you can be in an uncertain world that we do not get to day 33, so to speak, where suddenly, Tim, you have a million people dead here in America.
Yes, and President Trump is fighting internally. I'm talking about within himself.
Right.
He has to be, and you can see it in his face and hear it in his voice.
Well, he's a businessman. He's a businessman, and he wants to see the country back to work, right?
Yeah, so he's struggling with that. You know, the business side of him wants to see people back to work, back to normal. We're all going to Little League games and working in our yard, and we're looking forward to spring and a life in America.
Schools are open again.
Schools are open. Schools are open.
Baseball.
Baseball. Yeah. He wants to see that like we all do. But then the doctors come in, and they give him the harsh reality of what we're staring at, and it's, you know, he has to temper that enthusiasm to, quote, get back to work, because he has to consider, you know, everything. And especially Steve, you can chime in here, especially the president has to consider where our healthcare system is in this country, the hospitals, the doctors, the nurses. You know, people, they're not robots.
Right.
They're people like you and me. I'm talking about the healthcare workers. So it's easy for us to say, I'll get back to work. And then you drive up to the hospital while we're, quote, getting back to work, and there's the floors are lined with people. And you know what I'm saying? That's a little bit different perspective on things. Steve, go ahead.
I keep thinking how this, to me, feels like a very, very slow-motion car wreck. So if you're coming upon an intersection and you see a car and you watch it hurtle into another car, it's like all of a sudden we want to talk about whether or not we should put a stoplight instead of a stop sign at that intersection, when what we should be doing is going and seeing if anybody's hurt in the car, calling 911. Those are the things you handle first. And in a normal crisis, you kind of handle those quickly. And then as things wash out, you start asking the bigger questions. We're still at the initial point where we're trying to figure out how bad this is. We're still assessing the cars and the patients in the car. So,
not only how bad this is, but how bad this could become.
Right. And it's normal and natural to want to know those answers. Do we need to put a stoplight at this, or do we need 2 ambulances or 5 ambulances? You don't know until you get to the car. And it's normal questions to ask, but I think in the long run, it's a little too early yet. It's just so slowly evolving.
You know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, looking at history. Of course, 100 years from now, if man is still around, there's a song about that, isn't there? Huh? In the year 25.
In the year 2525.
If man is still alive. I remember that song. I don't know who sang it. Was that One Hit Wonder there?
That's right. Ray?
I don't know who sang that song. But when our world turns the page on the 21st century, none of us will be here. If we are, we've discovered some kind of some kind of vegetable or vitamin that's going to keep us all alive, probably a lot longer than we want to be. But anyway, they're going to look back on this event taking place right now. It's going to be top five, because of the worldwide impact. But as decisions go, Steve, Ray mentioned the Cuban health, Cuban missile crisis for President Kennedy. Mm-hmm. You know, you got President Lincoln, what to do about a divided country, you know. And then you have Franklin Delano Roosevelt on December 7th, 1941. Of course, I think the country, when they realized what had happened, you had to defend yourself. But, I mean, there are just a handful of those in history, and I think this decision by President Trump, how he handles this, is rising to that level.
They say, they keep saying there's no playbook for this. There isn't, but there better be the next time. I mean, we've got to learn from this.
Oh, we're going to. We're going to build hospitals. We're going to build places. There's going to be a plan for the next pandemic, I guarantee you.
Well, I told my wife this. I said, it may be hard to imagine good coming out of this, but I said, what if God is allowing this so that human beings make the sufficient preparations, because God knows the next thing that's coming around the corner. He knows whether that's in 100 years or 50, and maybe the preparations we make now will preserve lives or even civilization then. You know, I use the example, when my wife and I were talking about this, I said, a lot of historians believe the Great Depression, I think I might have said this last week as well, the Great Depression prepared a generation of people in the West to fight World War II. You know, they were strengthened by adversity. They had grown up deprived, a lot of them, so that when there was rationing during World War II, they didn't give up the fight. It was a hardened generation who won World War II. And so you, in the middle of the Great Depression, you're going, why, God, why? Maybe God says, well, you don't know what's coming down the road. This may not look like it's for your benefit and a lot of suffering now, but in X number of years, your children will be fighting for the future of freedom. I just think that's the way God works. Mm. Anyway.
Steve?
Well, I agree with that. I sometimes like to focus a little bit if there's something positive to.
No, Steve, it's all negative.
Is it all negative?
Yeah. We want to add to the doomed hysteria and the paranoia, the fear that people are feeling for our ratings. So that's stay right with negative, Steve.
That's right. Okay. Well, let me just say this: the stock market seems today to think that we're pretty close to a deal between McConnell and Pelosi over this. New aid package. As we speak, the stock market is up 1,400 points coming back. And part of, I think, the optimism there is that this the promise of these new antiviral drugs, and specifically the one called hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine.
What is that exactly? Does that sound... Chlorine?
I heard this some time ago. Chlorine, if you think about it, chlora, whatever that root is, it's everywhere in chemistry. Salt is sodium chloride.
Chlorophyll,
all of those things. What this is a drug that they developed decades ago to treat malaria and... what's the other disease they have with it?
I know what you're talking about. Common in Africa.
I used to have to get shots when I lived in Africa every 6 months as a vaccine against it. And it probably might have been chloroquine that I was given. So you passed around a story, which I have some sound from, a 52-year-old man named Rio Giardinario. Sorry. Giardinieri. That's his name. Rio Giardinieri. And... he lives in South Florida. He was telling Fox 11 in Los Angeles about his experience with this drug. Can you play cut five, Brent?
To me, there was no doubt in my mind that I wouldn't make it till morning. So to me, the drug saved my life. I was at the point where I was barely able to speak and breathing was very challenging. I really thought my end was there. I'd been through 9 days of solid pain and it just... For me, it was the end there. So I've made some calls to in my own way, goodbye to my friends and family. He gave me all the reasons why I would probably not want to try it, because there's no trials, there's no testing. It wasn't something that was approved. And I said, look, I don't know if I'm going to make it till the morning, because at that point, I just really thought I was coming to the end because I couldn't breathe anymore. And he agreed and authorized the use of it. And 30 minutes later, the nurse gave it to me. They gave me some Benadryl through the system and something else. I'm not sure what it was. And it allowed me to go to sleep. And when I woke up about 4:45 in the morning, I woke up like nothing ever happened other than having a headache in the background.
Anecdotal, to be sure, but very promising.
Ray, what do you think about that?
hey, let's hand it out. Let's give it to I think they, Steve, aren't they starting tests today in New York State?
They are. One of the doctors that I heard there, I think it was one of the Fox doctors, Mehmet Oz, is actually funding a study himself, a double-blind study. We have to do that here. France just thought it was such a good idea that they just went ahead and are distributing it. I think here in this country, we don't know. One thing I would really
caution... We don't have time to wait on an FDA.
No. Those. They are streamlining things. But I think they just want to know what happens. Like, for example, if you hand it out just willy-nilly. For example, I have type 2 diabetes. How does it interact with somebody with type 2? You might not know, and it might be some unforeseen thing. Yeah, so you do have to run some tests. In France, they're letting
it go. You take
it
your own risk, okay?
Well, and if I was at the point where that gentleman was, that I was not going to make it through the night, I'm going to go ahead
desperate.
And
take it. He's a desperate man, and he's got something to get. And it saved his life, according to him.
According to him.
Ed?
Yeah, no, I think we talked about just a few minutes ago that there's no there's no dress rehearsal for things like this. So you kind of, this is why Christians should be praying. And this is why I hope that this calls our country back to God, because you do walk blindly through, even the experts are walking in a sense blindly here. It's like in a darkened room, there's a little bit of light and you're just kind of feeling your way through it. You don't know. You have to be trusting God to open your eyes to the right thing at the right moment. That's the way a lot of scientists were, 150 years ago. They were Christians. They believed that God had created a world of order, and they were looking for that order and the creative order because they knew it had to be there. And so I hope this is something that will draw our country back to God, because our experts need to believe that there is an order to this. Because that's what they're searching for, and I just think, like you said, Tim, we have to have charity towards one another, because nobody really knows the answer. Nobody knows the exact moment when we should set the economy back. People going back to work. No one knows what that exact moment is. So there's a great deal of guesswork here.
You know what? The best thing that Joe Biden can do, not that he's looking to me for advice right now, but I think would raise his stature with the American people. Now, he would be crucified by the, quote, progressives in his party. But if he would come out and say, listen, we only have one president at a time.
Right.
I disagree with Donald Trump on almost everything. But I'm not going to sit here and nitpick every decision he makes and Monday morning quarterback everything he does and says. I think we need to pay attention to the advice his medical professionals are giving us, and we need to pray for our president that he makes the right decision for all of us.
I think that's would be fantastic.
That's an American tradition.
Right.
Am I right, Ray?
He would gain support. He would gain respect. He would gain voters from doing that.
He would.
And as you said, that is the American tradition.
Now, if he keeps doing these little corny video reactions every day to President Trump, as I say, just nitpicking and naysaying, and you know what I'm saying? If he keeps doing, he's going to continue to lower his stature with the American people, and he's already, anyway.
These videos, he's not
helping himself.
No, he's not. He's not helping the country.
They don't look professional. He doesn't sound professional. And instead, Tim, he sounds petty. You want a statesman to be in the White House, and what you just described would give him stature.
And one of the claims that he makes is I'm a better person than Donald Trump.
Right.
I mean, he does. I'm the sensible one. I'm not the mean-spirited one, and yet he's doing these kinds of things.
Well, so, Steve, the video yesterday, it it raised the continual question of, let's just say, mental acuity. I don't think what he's doing right now with these videos is helping him at all.
There were a couple of times, one time that everybody's kind of playing up when he kind of motioned to his staff with his hand kind of under the table. That was, I believe, a technical glitch with the teleprompter. Not
right.
That wasn't a Joe Biden acuity moment, I don't think. But yes, there are a whole lot of questions about his mental, whether he has his fastball, because I don't want to be a doctor. I can't tell.
Right. Any right.
Of that, so. I tell you, another thing related to that are these Trump haters in the media, where they're almost gleeful that he's in this dilemma.
Yeah.
Bill Maher, it's that's unconscionable to me. But Bill Maher, you know, the far left, what would you call him? Social commentator?
Late night comic.
So, and he, of course, about a year ago, he was famous for saying, I hope there's an economic collapse, right?
He was hoping to get Trump out.
He was hoping for a recession. It would be worth it. All the pain and suffering people would go through. But to get Donald Trump out would be, I haven't seen him around commenting on that because he's got his wish now.
Yeah.
Bill Maher. But what they're waiting to do, folks, and you know this if you pay attention to the news. Here's what they're waiting to do next week or 10 days from now or 2 weeks from now. These hyenas. Here's what they're waiting to do. They know that President Trump is boxed in here. And they know whatever he decides is going, there's going to be negative consequences either way he goes, and they're ready to seize on that. They're political opportunists, and they hate President Trump, and they hate our country, I think. So what they're going to do, you know they're going to do this. Everybody listen to us. If you pay attention to the news, what they're going to do, they're going to come back in about a month. Maybe they won't even wait that long. But they're going to say, if President Trump says, okay, 2 weeks from now, we're getting back to work as a country, and we'll just have to take what comes our way and deal with it the best we can, but we cannot go into a depression. If he says that, what they're going to do, they're going to take cameras, they're going to go into hospitals, they're going to talk to crying family members who lost grandma, and they're going to say, President Trump, all he cares about is money. He doesn't care about human lives. That's going to be CNN all day, every day.
Right.
Okay. Now, if he chooses to say two more weeks of a clampdown on American way of life and our business, President Trump, social distancing, all that, that's going to go against his instincts. But he may choose to do that, as you said, Ed. Two more weeks, so he can at least say he gave a month. Then what they're going to say is, they're going to say, look at the people suffering from a loss of jobs all over America. Families right. are about to go broke. They can't feed. They can't make their house mortgages. Why? Because Donald Trump doesn't care about these people.
Right.
He only wants to be a dictator that controls our way of life. And he knew about this a long time ago and did nothing.
I think the good news on that front is that the bias is kind of baked in with most voters. There's very few people who haven't already made up their mind what they're going to do.
I know, but a calamity like what? Yeah. Anyway, they know they're going to get him anyway. He goes. I mean, that's not new, but I'm just saying it's going to be another shameful.
Yeah.
American left wing media. Time. I think CNN's down to, I think they peak out at 27 viewers. I think that's at noon, maybe. All right. Ray, thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Steve, appreciate it, my friend.
My pleasure.
I'll see you in the hallway in a minute, right?
Yeah, right. I'll be there.
From 6 feet away.
Yes.
Six feet.
No closer.
Okay, Ed. Hope you ain't got it, because if you got it, I probably got it.
Right.
Do you think we're far enough away?
I think we're far enough.
All right. Thanks, Brent Creeley. And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Take care.